Some of y'all act like y'all always been saved. Like y'all don't know that song. Like you don't have it. Yeah. Can we join hands across the congregation, prepare our heads and hearts to hear from heaven? Lest our feet stray from the places of God where we met thee. Lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadow beneath thy hand, may we forever stand. True, true, true to our God. True to our native land. Speak, Lord, your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Then, speaking about Jesus, he said to them, Do you not bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Repeat these words after me. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Stay with me and say these words, please. Possibilities are fertile when God's truth comes out. I'd like to teach for a few moments this morning, hidden figures of our faith. Hidden figures of our faith. This, our text, Mark's text, is the backdrop for the sharing that will come forth. Jesus, through this parable, we'll get to that, so we'll break it off as we get there. A few years ago, there was a cinema smash hit that came on the movie scene entitled Hidden Figures. Y'all remember that, don't you? The storyline is about brilliant black women who in significant ways advanced and saved the American space program during the 1960s. The movie Hidden Figures documents many black women, especially Catherine J. G. Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson, working at NASA, who served and worked as the brains behind the scenes of one of the greatest space operations in history. The experience of the place, the position, and the purpose of these women went largely untold. It was largely unacknowledged for decades by the achievement and historical contributions because they were the emphasis of these women, the work of these women went hidden. Their stories went untold, unacknowledged of Catherine G. Johnson and Dorothy Vaughan and Mary Jackson and other black women for that matter, it gave the impression that the aerospace advancement was developed and performed by white male scientists and engineers only. The concealing, the cover-up of the life's work and achievement of Catherine Johnson and Dorothy Vaughan and Mary Jackson is akin to the parable that Jesus spoke in our text. Inspiration and information has the potential to elevate, to invigorate, to venerate, to venerate people should not be hidden. If any information has the opportunity to make people better and transform places and situations, it should not be hidden but revealed and shared. Does that make sense? That the one who authenticates, who who the one who originates the source of truth and transformation should be told about. That person should be talked about and learned about. Truth be told, the three American women of African descent represent a long line of hidden figures. This intentional obscuring of the achievement and involvement of a person or people has a direct impact on how we are viewed socially, intellectually, and spiritually, inside and outside of our culture. Family, you need to know and be concerned that from antiquity to modernity, from the past to the present, socially and biblically, African and African American history continues to be hidden from our view, from our insight, from our understanding. Women and men achievements, accomplishments from America to Africa, across the diaspora, worldwide significant contributions have intentionally been hidden, lost, or stolen. Family, this morning I want to reveal insights into hidden figures of our faith in the Bible. Africans whose names are buried in our Bible, whose religious, whose spiritual significance has gone largely unacknowledged and unrecognized, therefore uncelebrated. I'm talking about the presence and the purpose and the plan of Africans in the Bible who helped to shape our faith. I suspect somebody's thinking, why is it important to talk color and culture of biblical figures? I'm so glad you asked. Some would say faith is a spiritual journey. Well, true. But my response would be, why has it been in the past and present promoted that Africans had been a godless people and did not come into the worship of Christianity until slavery? Huh? Reverend R.A. Morrissey gives another reason to uncover the hidden. In his book published in 1955, Colored People, Biblical History, Reverend Morrissey says, most every foremost race of people in the world has its hidden history written by its members. Black people should not be any exception. And this includes a people's relationship with God. Why does it seem, family, that African history seems to begin and be told beginning with slavery instead of antiquity? You do know that some schools are trying to either eliminate or to diminish the discussion of slavery. Did you know that? And some places you will hear people say that the Africans migrated to America for work. Don't look at me funny. They are saying that. You all may recall the conversation I had and shared when my wife and I went to Hilton Head and then went over to the Nafoski Island. And as we would, I thought that we would meet and talk with some of the descendants of the enslaved of the island. We talked with four people, but no true history of the island was shared. And we came across a guided tour where the man said that the slaves and the slave owners had a great relationship. I said, can you describe for me what that looks like? He said they got along very, very well. Glad it was a good day for me. Some writings have already begun to read chattel slavery of Africans as migrants to America. Let there be an incident of a cop shooting or a cop killing of a black person, and the first words out of their mouths is that they had animal strength. Huh? I was afraid for my life. I ask why. Why is it that Europeans are generalized as being smarter? You know, the anthropologist said that Europeans were smarter because they had bigger heads. Until they met Africans with big heads. I'm only telling the truth. Huh? But it's generalized that Europeans are smarter or more spiritually astute than black people. I ask, why is it that all of the key figures in scriptures have been characterized as European? Most all European and European American Bible scholars and preachers have intentionally, ecclesially hidden or concealed what God intended to be known about African, the place and the purpose and the relationship of an African people. If you know how to study and to rightly divide the word of truth in your Bible, you will know that Africans have walked with God since the time of Adam and Eve. Did you hear what I said? Another thing, Africans remain hidden to us in plain sight of Scripture because when reading, we skip over the difficult names. Or we don't take the time to decode and define the names. Family, understand that hidden within a name is a connection to a country of people, a culture of people. Locked in a name is the character and the contribution of a people blessed by God. For instance, countries and people in the Bible associated with Africa were called Cush, Kemet, Punt, Egypt, Chem, Canaan, and Chaldea, just to name a few. A sad truth, many biblical characters are often depicted as Asian or European when they were African or Afro-Asiatic people. To first write biblical commentary and to influence Christianity were African. Biblical scholar Origen, born in 185 AD, was a Christian teacher and writer. He was from Carthage, which is then now known as parts of North Africa. Some of the most impressive concepts on religion were taught by Origen, another African teacher, were taught to Origen by another African teacher by the name of Clement. If you were to open your Bible, you would see in the 10th chapter of Genesis, which is known as the Table of Nations, we are introduced to a man named Nimrod. Nimrod, the son of Cush, who was the son of Ham. Ham had three other sons as well, and the names and their names are listed in Genesis 10 and 6. They are Mizraim, Punt, and Canaan. Each of the sons became the father of a country of the same name. So this means that the descendants of Ham became the countries Mizraim, Punt, Canaan, and Cush. Today these countries have different names. Punt is Libya, Mizraim is Egypt, Canaan is now Palestine, where Jesus was born and raised. And Cush is now called Sudan. And Sudan in the Bible was known as Ethiopia. Nimrod is therefore from a biblical perspective, son of Ethiopia, and according to scripture, Nimrod was the first man on earth to be called a mighty hunter. We learn that Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now check this, family. Many black men have gone to the Islamic faith not knowing that Christian faith existed at least 500 years before Islam. Largely, the shift has happened because black men wanted to identify with what they believed or were told was the original religion of Africa. If you came to Bible study, you would learn that in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and following, the Ethiopian eunuch returned from the Jewish festival. The Ethiopian eunuch returned from the Jewish festival in Jerusalem. The Ethiopian eunuch was returning to Ethiopia, riding in his 7 Series BMW. Well, I say that because he was a treasurer. So we know his chariot was pimped out. But the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling back home to Ethiopia, leaving from the Jewish festival in Jerusalem when he was baptized and begins a relationship with Jesus and carries the message back home to Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is the nation to some of the most Orthodox Jews even today, and the place of the oldest Christian Coptic church. The Coptic church, the Christian, is in Egypt. The oldest Christian Coptic church is in Ethiopia, I should say. And as a denomination that originated in the city of Alexandria in Egypt, and see, you really need to do some study, because there was a time when Ethiopia was the powerful nation and Egypt was the subordinate nation, and because of wars and shifts and changes, there was a shifting there. But the deal is this, that the denomination that originated in the city of Alexandria in Egypt, we're talking about the Coptic Church, is one of the most faithful and respected and fruitful cities during the apostolic age. Long time for slavery. If a person needs more insight into hidden figures of our Christian faith, they need only to trace the African origins of the Christian Savior, Jesus. Y'all know him, don't you? If you were to take a look at the brief description of the Apostle John that Apostle John gives of Jesus in Revelation 1, 12 through 16 in this passage, Jesus describes Jesus as having hair like wool, having hair like Brother Knowles. It is interesting that Apostle John describes Jesus having hair like lamb's wool. The family, I believe that's intentional. John not only wants to indicate the culture and the color of Jesus's hair, but also its texture. If Jesus's hair was long and flowing and straight, of short and curly, then the image of lamb's wool would not work, now would it? Furthermore, the apostle says that Jesus's feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a fire. In other words, Jesus had dark brown feet, y'all. Take a look at Matthew's gospel, when Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, was told to take his family into Egypt in order to avoid being killed by Herod. Now check this out. If Jesus and his family were European, and they went into black Egypt to hide, don't you think that they would have been spotted and placed on Jerusalem's most wanted? Okay. More evidence of Jesus's color and culture. Check the family tree in Matthew chapter 1. Tamar, Rahab, and Rahab are Canaanite women. Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah, who became King David's wife, was a Hittite. According to the 10th chapter of Genesis, the Canaanites and the Hittites were descendants of Ham. And Ham is the father of all black nations, including Egypt and Ethiopia. And since Mary's, Jesus' mama, is also a descendant of David the king, like her husband Joseph, Mary had an African bloodline. I'm just trying to reveal what's hidden. Family, the Bible is filled with hidden African figures who help to shape our faith. Another African who has been covered up is Jethro. Jethro is an unsung hero in our Holy Bible. He is a preeminent among persons of Africa who shaped our faith. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 29, Jethro is referred to as Reuel, which means the friend of God. As a Cushite, Jethro's ancestry can be traced to Ethiopia. Jethro is described as having been in the livestock raising and metalworking business. Jethro was also an Egyptian priest. He converted to the worship of Yahweh after extensive relationship with Moses. Early in the book of Exodus, we see Moses with Jethro when he fled his predicament with the Pharaoh in Egypt. Y'all remember in Exodus 2:13, when Moses tried to help two of his fellow Hebrews, they argued back at him, "Who made you boss? Who made you in charge?" Moses tried to reason with his own people, about the way they treated each other, Does that sound familiar? It's a pathology of self-hate. Reverend Dr. John Kenny says, the victims of the oppressed becomes the staunchest defenders or perpetrators of every system designed to destroy them. In other words, self-hate begets self-hate, causing self-destruction. During his escape out of Egyptian slavery, Moses ran into a black man who was totally free. Moses met a black man who knew who he was, who knew whose he was, and had a relationship with God and the ways of God. This man loved God. Family, understand that Jethro was a friend of God, a man who was totally free. Family, when you are in a relationship grounded in God, you will know truth and you will be free. Do I have a witness? A person's body may be dealing with complexities of community life. Intellectually or emotionally may be dealing with personal crisis. A person may be dealing with family life or challenges of personal circumstances, or family may even be incarcerated in prison. But when you are grounded in a relationship with God, your mind will be free. Do I have a witness? Our choir talked about singing spirituals. Steal away. Steal away. Talk about a free mind we're talking about. Show me a person whose foundation is faith and whose focus is family, and I'll show you a person who is free. Moses ran from the sickness of a man who didn't know God into saneness, the saneness of a man who knew exactly who God is. Exodus 2:16 says that Jethro was a priest, a holy man. His foundation was faith and his focus was family. When Jethro's daughter told him that they were back early from the field because an Egyptian rescued them from would-be robbers, Jethro says, "Why did you leave him out there? Go and invite him to eat with us." Family, we always have enough food to feed another person. Jethro, the family man, welcomed Moses into his family. He gave Moses a place to live and a place to work. In Exodus 18:13-27, you will notice how Jethro talks about God and note the wisdom that he shares with Moses. "In this I see the father and father-in-law worth modeling." Why? Because his foundation is faith and his focus is family. The Bible says that it was out of love for the love of his family and community that Jethro gave Moses some sound and practical advice found in Exodus 18. Jethro saw that Moses was doing too much work and he was getting overwhelmed and worn out. So he helped Moses to learn to organize more effectively. And Joseph also wanted his daughter to have a husband and good health and not wore out from work. And Jethro wanted the daughter's children to have a daddy who wasn't dying because he was overworked. Family, Jethro took care of his family. Now, family, it is this African's response to God that got my spiritual attention and makes me take notice. Check this. First of all, Jethro was an African who believed in God. In Exodus 11:10, when Jethro heard about everything God had done for Moses and the people of Israel, he believed in God. When Jethro heard about everything that God had done for Moses and the people leading them through the Red Sea, water rolled up on both sides, and feeding them manna from heaven and giving them instruction and insight from on high. When Jethro heard about everything God had done for Moses and the people of Israel, he believed in God. When Jethro heard that God led the Israelites out of Egypt and that the death angel swept through the city, passing over certain houses. When Jethro heard about a highway in the middle of the sea, when Jethro heard about a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, about manna in the morning and quail in the evening, when Jethro heard how God stepped right in on time, Jethro believed in God. It's sad that more people don't respond like Jethro did. People have heard about the Lord. They have heard about what the Lord has done. They have heard about what God is doing. People have heard what God can do, and they still won't believe. Lord have mercy. It's like some people hear us tell about the power and the love of God and what God can do, but they still won't believe. Some people I know have heard about what God has done since they were children. They got older and they read a few books by some black authors and criticized Christianity as not being organized for black people. And all of a sudden, they don't want to believe anymore. They say they believe in a God, whatever that means, a God. Remember what happened at the day of Pentecost? The people who witnessed the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2:11, they heard about the great things that the Lord had done. In Acts 13, they still did not believe. It says that some still did not believe. They accused the believers. They accused the disciples of being drunk. A sad truth. Some have heard about what God has done, even seen signs and wonders in their lives, and they still don't believe in God. But when Jethro heard, Jethro believed. In Exodus 18:12, it tells us that he worshiped God. Jethro worshiped God. When you believe in God, you can't help but worship God. Do I have a witness? If you believe in God, you can't stay at home on Sundays and say stuff like, you don't have to go to church to worship God. You go to church when you believe in God. Do I have a witness in this house? When you believe that God, that there is a God, you can't do that. You can't stay home. When you believe in God, you worship God. When you believe in God, you say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When you believe in God, you don't stifle the spirit. You shout and you celebrate. You tell somebody what God is doing in your life. Do I have a witness? When you believe in God, you find your feet getting in a hurry to go to the Lord's house on the Lord's day. It no longer matters what somebody else does or what somebody else doesn't do. Then you come into the house of the Lord to be in the presence of the Lord. But when you come, when I come into the Lord's presence with singing. Do I have a witness? When you come thankful and you bless his name. When you believe in the Lord, you always come into his house giving. Exodus 18:12 says, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. Jethro brought offerings and other sacrifices to be offered to God. Don't you know, family, that when you love someone, you want to show your love? Any lovers in the house? You don't show your love because they ask for it. You don't show your love because they need it. You show your love because it's a godly love. It's an agape love. Last week I went to my grandson's school, as I try to do every month. And it seems like the last two times my son Xavier was out in the hallway. The first time he was going to the water fountain from class, and this past week, his class was lining up in the hallway just coming from the cafeteria. And when Xavier sees me, he runs down the hall and he jumps in my arms. God, oh, there's no greater feeling than that for me. And Xavier does that because Xavier loves me. It's no use to tell him not to run, because when Xavier sees his baba coming, Xavier's going to meet his baba. He's going to run and he's going to jump in his baba's arms. Every now and then my sons call and ask for some money. And most of the time they get it. But then there are other times when I will send a card with a couple dollars in it. Send it through the mail. I don't do it for my sons. I do it for my sons because I love my sons. Jethro believed in God and he gave to God because he loved God. Exodus 18, 9 and 10 says that the black man loved and praised God. He was not ashamed to praise God, this black man was. And note that Jethro didn't praise God privately, nor did he praise him kind of laid back. Notice that Jethro did not praise God chilled back and in a sophisticated, reserved way. Verse 9 says about what made Jethro happy. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things that the Lord had done for Israel, including them from rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be the Lord. He rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and the Pharaoh, and he rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians." Jethro's joy and excitement was over what God had done for somebody else. Jethro gave a gift to the Lord because of what the Lord had done for Moses and the Israelites. Y'all missed the shout. Jethro brought an offering because of the way God blessed Moses. Jethro showed his love to God because what God did for somebody else. I know why that didn't go over so well. Some folk can't shout or celebrate unless God has done something for them. We don't get excited unless the Lord is doing something for us or for our family. But Jethro knew how to shout. Jethro knew how to praise God. He gave thanks and praise because of what God had done for others. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful thing? To get excited, to thank and praise God for what God has done for somebody else. Isn't that a powerful testimony, an awesome example? Family, don't you get stuck praising the Lord simply because he's been good to you. Praise God when somebody else gets blessed. Praise God when somebody else gets healed. Praise God when somebody else gets their breakthrough. Praise God when somebody else gets happy. Praise God when somebody else's daughter or son gets saved. Praise God when something happens to somebody else because of what God has done, because God is worthy of praise. Praise God for what is undone. Praise God for what is done. Praise God for what was hidden. Praise God for what is revealed. Praise God for what you didn't know. Thank God for what you know. Praise God for having brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Stand to your feet all over the church. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For was grace that bought my liberty. I don't know why Jesus loved me so. He looked beyond my fault. Saw my need. Brought us from out of the darkness to the marvelous light. That's what salvation is all about. It's about God shifting our lives, changing our lives from the unknown to the known, from being lost to having understanding. That's what salvation is. Salvation is no longer having to do it all by yourself or on your own. Allowing God to lead and guide your way. Today, if you desire today to begin a relationship with God, if you believe today is your day to walk in understanding, spiritual understanding that will change your life socially, emotionally, and physically, today is the day to begin your walk with Jesus Christ. If today you have determined to begin a relationship with Jesus, come down to the altar. We'll celebrate you. We'll celebrate with you. If you're determined today to connect with a body of believers who are determined to walk with God, a body of believers who are determined to mature in the faith, meaning you're joined the Church of Goshen United Methodists, come on down and we'll celebrate you. We've been waiting on you.